Hello, friends, and welcome to Through the Word. Today we begin the book of Romans, and this one is big. Romans takes on life and truth, a lot of topics that you avoid at family gatherings, and hits them head on. Romans 1 has what may be the most controversial passage in the Bible today, but then Romans 3 has what may be the most essential passage in Scripture. Leon Morris calls it the greatest paragraph ever written. But if you want to understand either of them, you have to get the context that connects them both. The context is the gospel. See, Romans 1 takes on the heathens, sinners, with the wrath of God, and a few subjects bound to make someone angry. But it's not just about the heathens. There's more to it. Romans 2 takes on religious hypocrites. You'll like that one. But it's not just about the hypocrites. Romans 3 brings the heathens and the hypocrites and everyone else to Jesus. It's about Jesus. Romans lays out the gospel, the essential message of Christianity, the message of God to man, the radical truth that God loves sinners, that Jesus saves. Romans is the gospel, clearly explained, thoroughly examined, questioned, challenged, and answered with incredible clarity and depth. This is the gospel, the incredible, fantastic, phenomenal gospel. And at its core, the gospel is about what it takes to be right with God. When I say right with God, I hope you understand that in the most personal way possible. Take a look at verse 16 of chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. In the opening of Romans, it's as if Paul steps out into the open square, ready to declare and nothing to hide. He introduces the gospel. For Paul, this message was his life. He introduces himself in verse 1 as a man set apart for the gospel of God. This is his calling. And when he opens it in verse 16, he is not ashamed, because it is God's power. It brings salvation. If anyone will listen to it, will believe it, these words, this message, this gospel will save their life. And look carefully at verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now stop there. This is what the gospel is really about. The righteousness of God is revealed. Righteousness is the only requirement that God has ever set for entering heaven. God made heaven, he sets the ticket price. Righteousness is the only way in. Righteousness is being right with God. It means doing right by God and standing right in God's sight. Think of it this way. Do you know that feeling, that awful feeling between you and someone you love when you are most definitely not right? With your wife or your husband, with a true brother or sister, and something is very wrong, and you know it's you. You screwed up. Bad. You look at them and try to wish it away, to erase the hurt, to cover the wrong, or just go back in time. But you can't. You wronged them. A thousand little swords stab at your heart, saying, "You stupid idiot, why did you do that? Why would you hurt her? How could you do that to him?" And you wish for something. Anything. Give me words. I'll work. I'll suffer. I'll battle the beast. Anything to make it right. But you can't. It's wrong. You're wrong, and you can't make it right. That is where we stand with God. We are wrong, and we cannot make it right. The God of the universe, the Father in heaven, the Creator who is so good and so loving and so right, and we wronged him. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for in the gospel, righteousness is revealed, how to get right, a righteousness that is by faith. Now, the thing is, that won't mean much to us until we truly understand that without the gospel, we are not right with God. Do you remember the story when Jesus took the disciples out to fish, and they pulled in boatload after boatload of fish, and everyone celebrated, and Peter understood for the first time who Jesus really is. You remember what Peter said to Jesus? "Depart from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Peter knew. He felt that weight pull at his heart. He was not right with God. And with the Lord standing before him, "Depart from me, I'm a sinner." But Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid." Why? Because Jesus came to make us right again. Back here in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," says Paul. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God, how to be right with God, how to get your life right, get right with everything, righteousness is revealed, shown, made plain before us. A righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, "The righteous will live by faith." And there is the heart of it. Righteousness comes by faith. From first to last, from beginning to end, being right with God is an issue of your faith in the only one who gave his life to make you right with God. Romans will lay out for you how to get right with God and how to live right with God. When you stand condemned and guilty, the gospel will step in to save the day. When you struggle and fight to live right and just can't seem to get it, the gospel explains how to live it out. It's all here in Romans. Now, backing up a little bit, Paul is the writer here. Paul, who knew as well as anyone what it was like to work and strive to be right with God, but never get there. Self-righteous, but never God-righteous. And now that he's found it, he wants to share it. And I love the personal touch he uses in verse 7. "To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people." Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. That's why it's called Romans, by the way. And he tells the Roman church, "You are loved by God. You are his people. You know what it is to belong. That's what it is to be in Christ." And the letter is personal. Paul starts out by telling the church how much he wants to go visit them. And he means it. And when you read this, you got to make it personal. Listen, if you're looking for a theological treatise, if you want something to write a college paper about, don't read Romans. It's way too personal for that. I know it's just a letter, but do not be fooled by its commonplace appearance. In Romans, the word of God is drawn from its sheath, and that sword is aimed at your heart. And you and I, my friend, are on trial. When you walk into Romans, you walk into court. So consider this a summons. Someone is on trial for their life, and you've been called to appear, and you're not quite clear just who it is that's on trial. Now, as we step into court, I have one humble request. Don't walk out early. Court is not always a pleasant experience, especially if you're guilty, but I'm begging you, don't walk away until you hear the full argument, at least through chapter 3. This is crucial. 1 through 3 are one continuous argument. And much damage has been done by Christians who quote chapter 1 without 2 and 3. Romans 1 has one of the most controversial passages in the Bible. But all of you on both sides, please stop plugging your ears anytime someone might disagree with you. Please listen through to the end. You may find that the Bible will surprise both of you. See, here's the funny thing about this trial. Everyone invited seems to think they've been invited to court to judge everyone else. You know, the guilty people. Them. But it's not them, it's us. All of us. The wicked and the good, the unrighteous and the self-righteous. So, are you ready? Ready or not, your trial date is up. We'll see you in court tomorrow.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.